The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It settles in your soul.
Soul.
Yes, it does. Settles right in your soul, doesn't it, brother?
It does. It does.
This is Terry Raposo and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, partner?
I'm doing pretty good. It settles in your soul if you have one. You know, some of the people around here, they have sold their souls.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You're on one this morning.
Just
we are here with our trusted producer, Nathan. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning. I'm doing all right.
Good, man. I like the hairdo, man. I like that. That's good. Do you play music?
No. I have a lot of friends that are musicians, though.
Okay. Because I know that Liam is
quite a
musician.
That's how I play music. I turn the radio on.
Liam is an amazing musician.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Anyway, we are broadcasting live here from KCNR.
1460.
96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and 96.5 FM, where the music does sound much better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until the winter weather comes in.
And
then the tower
right.
Kind of comes in and out, in and out, in and out. Yep.
We're also streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we are archived forever and ever.
Got like 9 or 10 years of archives on there.
So my partner has an announcement to make.
Yes. Today there's going to be a rally at the river here in downtown Reading at 860 Sundial Bridge. Drive, excuse me, next to the convention center on the river side of it. And there's an amphitheater there, and that's where it's going to be held. It's going to have politics basically going on there. We're going to have all the candidates there. Most of them will have tables set up so you can come by and you can meet and chat with each one of them. And, you know, learn about the people that are going to be representing you, whichever district you may live in or school board district or what have you. You can come out there and meet them, city council, et cetera. Come out there, meet them, the boards of supervisors that are candidates that are running as well. There are going to be food trucks, and they'll have all kinds of information out there. And it'd just be a good thing to go out there and be out there with a bunch of good people that are looking to find out what they need to find out and get the answers they need, and they can make their decisions. After all, we are on election season right now.
We are, and you can register to vote. There will be a table out there for registering to vote. Information on how you can protect your rights.
Yes.
How about that, huh?
Protecting the rights.
Yes. Anyway, I believe we do have our guest on the line. It would be Mark Moser. How you doing, brother?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Good morning.
Mark is running for Senator of the United States, and he is on the ballot twice, which I'll have him explain after he tells everyone a little bit about himself. So, Mark, tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a constitutional attorney. I work with the Dillon Law Group in the, down in San Francisco. Over the last couple years, I've been the nation's leading COVID attorney, stopping Joe Biden's vaccine mandate that he tried to push through OSHA. I fought to reopen churches. I had 3 cases that went to the United States Supreme Court that reopen churches here in the state of California. I'm actually, just this last week, the Supreme Court started reading the brief that I wrote regarding Gavin Newsom and the unelected bureaucrats' ability to shut down schools in the state of California under the pandemic. So I have been a very zealous advocate for the constitutional rights of individuals. But, you know, over the last 20 years, if you were to look at my legal record, I have multiple Fortune 500 companies. I sued big pharma, big business, big tech. My whole legal career has been focused around fighting for we the people against those people who are trying to distort our constitutional republic and deprive people of their, you know, rights without due process of law.
Well, you know, you are on the ballot twice, and I think that, to me, that was one of the most important things that I think that it's starting to resonate with people. We've been out there explaining why that is, why you're on there twice, what happened when Kamala Harris was selected as the vice president. So I'd like you to go into a little bit of detail on that and tell the folks why you're on the ballot twice and the importance, especially, of that one term that you would do between November the 9th and January 3rd.
Love to. Well, this story actually begins back in 1787. In 1787, we introduced our first United States Constitution that had not been yet ratified or amended. But in that document, the United States Senate was appointed by the legislature. And because each state only had two senators and two representatives, if a senator was gone for a period of time, they were concerned about the inability of the state to keep a proper check on the federal government. And so they said, well, a governor will have this, you know, because legislatures only met for a couple months every year, and they didn't want a senator to pass away or have to resign and it be 9 months, a year and a half before a state had proper representation again. And so the United States Constitution gave the governor the authority to appoint a new United States senator, and that authority was only valid until the next election day. Now, that same authority does not go to your congressman. If a congressman dies or passes away, the governor has no right to make an appointment because that power belongs to the people, and so the governor has a duty to appoint set an election as soon as possible so that the people can elect a new congressman when there's a vacancy. Well, what ended up happening is a little over 100 years ago, they amended the United States Constitution and allowed people to elect United States senators. But they did a terrible job in drafting that amendment, and all of a sudden there became a controversy. Well, how long can a governor's appointment last? And eventually the courts came to a conclusion that that appointment only lasted until the next general election. And so the state of California ratified that decision in our laws and basically said a governor's appointment can only last until the next general election. And so when Kamala Harris stepped down as to become vice president, Gavin Newsom was allowed to make an appointment, but that appointment is only valid until Election Day. And we, the people, have the right to select our representative in the U.S. Senate for the remainder of that person's term. In this case, it's going to be 7 weeks. And so we end the 50-50 Senate immediately. There will be no lame duck session of the Senate when I win this U.S. Senate race. And so that's kind of, but because this was the election where we were selecting the next 6-year term, that's why I'm on the ballot twice, because I got this 7-week term and then I have a full 6-year term. So yes, you can vote for me twice. You can legally vote for me twice, and I can serve both sessions because they're consecutive. They're not, they don't overlap with each other.
There's a big event today, and we'll be talking about that, as a matter of fact, a big event today out at the Sundial Bridge in the amphitheater there near the rodeo grounds, and we'll be talking a bit about this. I think that the vote for this particular short-term election is it's vital. As you said, it breaks the tie in the Senate, and I think I can arguably say that I think that race and your race might arguably be the most important Senate race in the United States right now.
I agree.
I will third that, the thing is a lot of people have given up on California, but what they don't realize right now is that there is a real opportunity in California for common sense elected officials. Right now, I'll say as of Friday morning, which was 18 days out from the election. We had already seen people voting by mail for 12 days. If you went back 1 year to the recall Gavin Newsom at 12 days into the election, or, you know, 18 days out, whichever way you want to call it, there had been over 2 million Democrat machine politics votes already, meaning the most, the people who vote in the first 12 days are the people who are the most politically connected. They're the people who go to the events. They know who the candidates are. They don't need 30 days to figure out who to vote for. They already know who they're voting for, and they vote. They're the most partisan on both sides. You know who they're voting for pretty much just because they are the most active voters.
Yeah.
1 year ago, during the recall of Gavin Newsom, there had been over 2 million votes 18 days out by the Democrat side. This Friday, 18 days out, there had been only 415,000 votes. So among the Democrats' most loyal supporters, there is an 80% reduction in the amount of votes coming in by the Democrat side. They do not like what is going on with the economy, these gas prices and grocery prices. They know that their side does not have solutions to crime right now, and crime is getting worse. They know that homelessness is getting worse, and throwing money at it is not the solution. They know that their children are not receiving the education that they deserve. They understand that their children and their grandchildren right now, if things continue the way they are going, will not have the ability to realize the American dream. And so they have absolutely nothing. All they can seem to do is, you know, call everybody a racist and call everybody an election denier, and that, or and try to invoke Donald Trump into the election of 2022. They're trying everything they can to distract people from the issues that are at hand right now. And it's not working because their base has decided, you know, over 80% of their base has decided, wait a second, I'm not that excited to come out and vote. And that means there is a real opportunity for common sense voters across the state of California to come out and vote. And if common sense voters come out and vote en masse, we will defeat the machine politics of the state of California. Because, you see, in the state of California, we are not the most liberal state in the union. We have the most liberal politicians in the union. But according to Gallup poll, if you study how the people of California respond to polling data, we are a purple state. We are a 50-50 state. The state of California, the voters in the state of California, are nowhere near the most liberal state in the union. However, because of the Democrat machines in Los Angeles and San Francisco, they have dominated this state for the last 4 decades, and they continue to get more woke and more progressive. And because of COVID and because of the racial statements that were made by the machine politics down in L.A. a couple weeks ago, that machine is really in disarray right now. They have lost so many people who have left their, you know, machines that for other states or other parts of the state. They do not, the machine is not clicking as it normally does in this state. And we are seeing a real opportunity because as the voter turnout is so low in the state of California, that means more than ever that the votes in Northern California, or I think as you call it, Jefferson Country, those votes matter more than ever. So if what I am telling everybody who I talk to, and, you know, in a 24-hour period this weekend, I was in Congressional District 4, Congressional District 3, Congressional District 9, Congressional District 18, Congressional District 19, I'm traveling all over the state of California. I am talking to voters. I am talking to common sense voters, I should say, and I'm encouraging them. make a plan to vote. Your vote means more this year than it has ever meant before, and it is critical that everyone get out and vote.
We have a this afternoon when we have this event, we have a voter registration booth, and a lot of it will be talking about the Constitution, what your rights are as a citizen, how you can stop overreaching government by using the United States Code. There'll be a lot of really good information we're going to have, along with the many candidates who are running for office. One of the things I think about the voter base of the Republicans is we have a lot of friends and know a lot of people that were voting Republican, and they're all moving to Idaho, Utah, and Nevada. And every day I talk to somebody who's moving. I just got a phone call from a friend of mine who I didn't even know was in Idaho, who went to Idaho. And I think that the Democrats sort of bank on that in California. And then, of course, anything they can do illegally, and you know this probably better than anyone, to usurp an election or to fraudulent election situations. I've known you for a long time, and you're a hard worker. What is it, a really hard worker? And I think that probably out of most candidates, you get out there, and as you told me before, and I believe this, that you are not beholden to anybody. And I think that's great. So how do we get these independents to move over to us? Or, I'm not even really sure. I mean, you were saying that you believe that some of the Democrats will be moving a little further to the right?
I mean, my campaign is getting about a dozen calls, texts, emails a day right now saying, I have voted Democrat my entire life, and I just voted for you.
Good.
I mean, 4 years ago, I ran for Secretary of State. I don't even think I got a dozen such comments over the entire year I was running. Ten years ago, I was, about 6 years ago, I was working on the governor's, no, I guess it was 8 years ago, 2014, I was working on the governor's race. I probably saw a dozen such comments in the entire last couple months of the campaign. 10 years ago, I ran for state senate up in the Bay Area, and I could say that safely, I may have got five or six such comments over the course of that election. There is something different going on. This is not the 2020 election. This is not a 2018 election. This is not the election of 2012 or, even 1994. There is something different going on. I cannot stress it enough that this is not like any election you have ever seen in the state of California. I read a lot of history. I read a lot of, World War II or Revolutionary War or I don't do too much in the Civil War, but I occasionally, the Spanish-American War. And there is a time behind every victory where the leaders realize that, wait a second, something has happened on the other side, and now is the time to charge. And those leaders stand up and they say, charge. And they run, and they end up routing the enemy. And, and quite often in many of these stories, it's a smaller force taking out a larger force. And, if I sat down, we could go through many such examples. I mean, one example would be, from the Civil War is the Battle of Bull Run, where, it looked like the Union Army was about ready to rout the Confederacy, but Stonewall Jackson stood up and, turned the tide, and all of a sudden this smaller, more frazzled army ended up winning. I mean, I could tell you similar stories from the, Revolutionary War. I could tell you similar stories from World War II, World War I. Pretty much every war always has a story where the minority, the smaller force, there was that perfect moment, mm-hmm. and the leaders saw it, and they took advantage of it, and a victory was won. And this, right now, as somebody who has followed elections for, I've been involved in elections since 1990. I've been involved in presidential elections, gubernatorial elections, congressional elections. I was actively involved in Contract with America in 1994, and I helped a absolute unknown individual who had never been involved in politics under contract with America. I was right there beside them for 8 months, and we took out a seated incumbent in a deep blue area and just absolutely changed that state.
This is that
time.
Yeah, talking about wars, since your jurisdiction really isn't as much in California as we're discussing, your jurisdiction being federal jurisdiction, what is your position on the war with Ukraine? We had Congressman LaMalfa on last week, and I'd like to get your take. What are you for it? Are you against it? Would you fund it anymore? Would you not fund it? What would be your position as a senator in the United States Senate on the war in Ukraine?
First off, we have to understand that this war in Ukraine never needed to happen to begin with. It's Joe Biden's weak leadership in what he's been doing on our southern border, not even able to defend our own borders, what his disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Anybody who has studied Russia, you know, you go back to Peter the Great, or even before Peter the Great, the Ukraine's importance to Russia, everybody knows that. Anybody who studies Putin knows that he wants this. We had trouble with Ukraine under Obama. We didn't quite have as much problem under Trump because Putin feared Trump. Unlike everything that Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden claim, Putin actually feared Trump. He does not fear Biden, and Biden showed him that he was a very weak international leader, and so he took advantage of our weakness. This battle never needed to occur to begin with. And you have to understand Putin to understand that he taking Ukraine is very important to him and the Russian people. And a defeat right now is not an option. And what we have right now is Joe Biden picking sides rather than promoting peace.
Well, we're going to have to go to a break here pretty quick, Mark. In about a minute and a half. But when we get back, what I want you to do is answer the question on where you stand with Ukraine, yes or no. And then, you can go ahead and finish up. We got about 2 minutes, buddy. Then we have to go to break.
Okay. So when Russia invaded Japan in the early, I think it was 1904, 1905 range, Teddy Roosevelt, rather than picking sides, stood up and he forced the parties into a peace negotiation. Right now, because of Joe Biden's family influence and all the money that his son Hunter has been making over the years, Joe Biden has picked sides, and unfortunately, he is leading this nation into a potential nuclear Armageddon with Russia. And right now, it is my position that we need to actually get out of picking sides and start forcing the parties to the negotiation table. Because if we don't and we continue down this path of a proxy war using Ukraine, we are unfortunately going to lead where I'm afraid where we're going to see nuclear weapons used. And I don't think anybody wins in that situation.
All right. Okay, so with that, Nathan, we'll go off to our first and only break. And hold on, Mark, and we will get right back to Mark Moser, running for the United States Senate in two elections.
Two elections. Back to back.
Back to back. Vote, what is it? Did you say vote early, vote often?
Yeah, and on the same ballot, yes.
On the same ballot. So with that, time has come.
For 51.
We'll be back.
jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
That's what we need to hear from the
everybody,
all the Republicans that are leaving California. That was Rally Sally.
Good choice,
that's
Sally.
That's my girl.
Good choice.
Doing her thing on the music, and she'll be helping in that voter registration booth. You can actually meet Rally Sally today.
There you go.
You can. Yep. I know she's laughing right now. She just threw her head back and laughed. And probably went, buzzard.
Buzzard.
We're here with Mark Moser. He is running for Senate of the United States of America. He is running on the ballot twice, which he explained in the first half hour. And my partner Wynn here has a couple of questions for you, Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Hey, I want to know, what are your plans? You know, you get elected into the U.S. Senate, and you're going to be representing the state of California. And you get there, what are you going to do? How are you going to make an effect in the Senate? What are you going to do? How is this going to work?
Well, as I was talking about at the top of the hour, how I am a constitutional attorney who has been on the front line fighting the unelected bureaucracy that has basically been shredding our United States Constitution over the last couple of years, amassing powers that the Constitution never intended for them. Because under our Constitution, we the people are the government. We have a right of self-governance. And that right is only checked by laws passed by our duly elected representatives. You know, Article 1 gives the limited duties of our elected
yes.
representatives. Article 2 of the Constitution covers the limited duties of the President of the United States. And just so you know and your listeners know, there is no power of the purse in the presidency. The president does not have the authority to forgive student loans. I was glad to see that a Court of Appeals put that on hold. And looking forward to watching that litigation. But Article 3 deals with what the judges can do. But there is not in the fourth article of the United States Constitution a provision for how unelected bureaucrats are allowed to deprive people of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness without due process of law. Unfortunately, this unelected bureaucracy has grown so big that they are telling landlords, you can't remove somebody from your property because of COVID. You know, they're depriving people of private property rights without any, any legislative input. And we are seeing, where they told kids, you can't go to school unless you're wearing a mask. This unelected bureaucracy has gotten so big that they're depriving us of our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness without due process of law. And that is basic guarantees of our constitutional rights. And so when I go to the United States Senate, my biggest job is to make the unelected bureaucracy reduce their powers, reduce their authority. We cannot afford for the Department of Education to anymore have a say in our children's education. And that department has grown so big and so fat, and that many of our local school boards feel like their hands are tied in fighting back against this woke progressive agenda that is inundating our children's schools. And so I intend to go to D.C. and start, whether it's through the power of the purse, whether it's in removing power from various bureaucracy, I intend to do war with the bureaucracy to return power to the local level. We need to return, there are so many areas where the federal government is regulating that under the Constitution they have no authority to be passing laws in those areas. And so that is going to be one of my number one focuses. You know, over the last 30 years, we have seen the United States Supreme Court move back to originalism. Unfortunately, we haven't seen a similar movement in the United States Senate and the United States Congress of our elected leaders, our elected representatives, understanding the basic fundamental limitations that the federal government has. And so it's going to be one of my jobs to take our elected officials, educate them on the first principles of the Constitution, and start reducing the size of the federal government, start bringing power back down to the states and back down to the counties, back down to the cities, back down to the local school board level, where the government that governs, that closest to people, is the government that governs best. I'm going to actually be going to D.C., pushing for a balanced budget amendment, because until we get this waste, fraud, and abuse out of the federal government, we're going to continue to see inflation go at out-of-control levels. We cannot afford to continue to print money because politicians can't say no to special interests. And that's one of the beautiful things about my campaign. I am going to be the United States Senator from the biggest state of the union, and I will not owe any allegiance to big business, big tech, big pharma, or big government, because percentage-wise, my campaign is one of the leading campaigns in the nation for the percentage of contributions that have come in from people who have given less than $200.
Okay, so now you get there as a freshman senator. Are you going to align yourself with those that are trying to do that if they're still there? So are you going to get in there and get in with a group that to fight collectively versus as an individual that may not have any, I don't want to say power, but any influence, get in there and get aligned with people that are actually trying to do that as well? Are you going to try to form a group or be part of a group that are actually trying to do just that?
There's going to be multiple facets to this.
Right.
Number one, as the United States Senator from the largest state of the union, the state that gives the most money politically, I'm going to have a little bit of clout. It's been over 30 years since the state of California has had a Republican senator, and there are some ramifications of that that is going to give me some extra clout within the conservative, or what I like to call the constitutionalist, on the Republican side of the aisle. So I'm going to have to be recruiting candidates who understand the first principles of the Constitution and trying to get them to run for Congress, get them to run for Senate for these open seats, and help them get elected. That's going to be an important aspect. But there are candidates out there. I'm going to take, you know, Rand Paul for years has been working on trying to balance the budget. And he has a great plan out there to help. I think it's called the six cent plan that I think makes sense at trying to start balancing the budget. He's also been very vocal about the need to go after Dr. Fauci, and I will more than happy work with Dr. Rand Paul on making Dr. Fauci's retirement the most miserable retirement that he can have, because we're going to constantly be bringing him in to see what he knew, what he did, why he did it, why he was violating United States laws. But, you know, that's not the only one. I know Ron Johnson has been a very vocal fighter against the CDC and NIH, and I'm going to be willing to join with him. I know that Ted Cruz and Mike Lee understand the Constitution. They have a very strong constitutional background, and I think working with them on helping to reduce the areas that the federal government is involved in. So there are a lot of good senators. There's not enough of them. I mean, they're... You know, if you ask, you know, how many senators are bought and paid for by big tech, there are a lot of them. How many senators are bought and paid for by big business? There's a lot of them, both sides of the aisle. But when you get down to how many people are constitutionalists who basically owe their election to the people, that is a very, very small list. And I am looking forward to being able to go to go to D.C., and, you know, tell the establishment, guys, you did jack in helping me get elected. It was the people of the state of California who got the common sense voters out to vote. They called their friends. They texted their friends. They texted their family members. They contacted people at church and said, you know what? This is the time that we can take our state back. You need to vote. This is not like any election we've ever had. The time is now. Go vote. I've made a plan to vote. You need to go vote. And that's the most important message that I can give in these last 16 days of the election, is don't worry about what happened in 2020. Don't worry about what happened in 2018. Don't worry about what happened in 2016. Get out and vote, because we are seeing right now who's voting, and the machine politics is not voting like they've done in the past. And that means this is the opportunity. They are weak. They are disorganized. The time is now to vote, and if you want somebody who's representing you, then I'm your person. Get out there and get me elected.
Perfect.
You know, one of the things that you made a great point about, well, you made a lot of great points, but one of the main points that I think a lot of people are resonating to is about the local government. And see, the one thing that, as you were talking about, all these different things that were being passed by the federal government, and then the states were passing their stuff or complying with, which is a magic word, with the federal government. And you also talked about, you know, the courts getting back, the Supreme Court getting back to the original Constitution, getting back to it, because the jurisdiction really falls within the states. And what people don't understand is that when the compact was made, it was made between the states, between the 13 states. It wasn't made between the 13 states and the federal government. The states created the government. The Constitution created that. So the federal government is simply a product of a contract slash compact, which is a contract, as you know, between legitimate governments. Now, you talked about the local situation, and then we talk about going to court, and then we talk about suing, and then we talk about court cases. The real deal is we probably should have some kind of committee that is a constitutional compliance committee. And if you have people that are in office that do not comply with the Constitution of the United States, there should be consequences, and there aren't any consequences. What would you do anything about that?
Well, I mean, right now we have seen many branches of government so exceed their authority. You know, the OSHA vaccine mandate. And yeah, you know, mm-hmm. what did they do? They used your money. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have to worry about the consequences of wasting taxpayer money with a unconstitutional order. And because of the, you know, the way how they're secured with their union job, they don't have to worry about being fired for that type of stuff. You know, hey, the administration actually, you know, can, you know, encourage them to do that kind of stuff. There are limited tools in the that a United States senator has, but one of the biggest ones is the power of the purse. And if you guys violated, you guys clearly have too much time on your hands that you can come up with all these ways to violate the constitutional rights. We're just going to slash your budget 10% this year. And if you try to do that again, we're going to come after your budget. And, if we start saying, the worst, bureaucracy during COVID was this one, and as the United States senators, we are targeting that one. Mm-hmm. That's going to get through all the other bureaucracies that, we may be next if we don't straighten up. And so you don't always have enough ammunition to take on every single bureaucracy at the same time, but you do need to form a coalition of elected representatives. You got to work on your message. You have to be able to educate the people of how this bureaucracy violated their constitutional rights and why you are going after them to reduce their power, to reduce their influence. And when you get the people behind you, then you can bring over the followers, the elected leaders who are not really leaders. They're followers. They're going to follow whatever they think is going to keep them in power. But, there's going to have to be a strategic thought group as to who we are going to be focusing in on, because we're not going to, Rand Paul has shown over the last, 12 years, you can keep beating the drum about just how bloated the entire federal government is, but we need to start picking our targets and just go getting everybody involved in one target to just take out one target at a time. And if we go after this bureaucracy, people start losing their jobs, make it a little bit easier for unelected bureaucrats to deprive people of constitutional rights, make it easier for them to be removed from their position, we can see a lot of change. I mean, right now, 90% of the people who live in D.C. happen to be registered with one party. And the vast majority of those people work for the federal government, work for the unelected bureaucracy. That right there tells you everything that you need to know what side the unelected bureaucracy is. And, we need to rein that in. The unelected bureaucracy has gained way too much power, and we're going to have to start, it's not going to be done overnight. Maybe you pick two, bureaucracies every single year. Well, that means in 6 years as your United States senator, we're going to have, affected 12 bureaucracies. If we can pick small targets, take them out, and start building momentum, I think the people of the United States will appreciate us taking the foot off of their neck, letting them live the American dream. And I think United States of America can be prosperous for another 250-plus years.
Yeah. I think that, you really hit the nail on the head with that, because a lot of times what happens is we get divided by so many different issues. I mean, there can be 50 or 60 different causes or issues, or what are they doing to us next? And in California, as you know, every day you wake up going, what's the government going to do to me today? Or what are they going to do next hour? I think what a lot of people don't understand is the jurisdiction that different elected officials have, their ability to interpose between the government and the citizens, and their ability to nullify. It's like the Board of Supervisors has so much power in the state of California. They have a tremendous amount of power, and as you were saying, the control of the purse in the federal government, when you're controlling the money that comes into the government of the United States, it's the same thing with the Board of Supervisors on that local scale. They control tons of that money. And a lot of times the Boards of Supervisors are just compliant. And I think your idea of picking one to two different things at a time and uniting behind that, I think that's absolutely spot on. Now, a question that Wynn and I both have for you is, we've been talking about the shift, the major shift in that everybody's praying for in California, in that we become more conservative and have more people elected and start following the Constitution, both of the United States and the state of California. However, how did you get a chance to see or hear anything about the debate yesterday between Brian Daly and Newsom? I think that sets a pulse for the tone in California. If Newsom ends up winning in a landslide, it looks like the other side of that, that sort of is maybe a dash of hope, but, you know, that for the Republicans. But do you see, did you hear anything or see anything to where we can be thinking that the Republican has a pretty good shot here?
I mean, the debate is this afternoon at like 1 o'clock.
Oh, I thought it was yesterday.
Correctly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it's today at 1 o'clock.
I think you're right.
When it is.
You're right.
The thing is, if a tree falls in the woods, will anybody hear it?
Yes.
This debate is not getting, you know, very much coverage. And in fact, the media in the state of California has really done a blackout on all politics.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to what we saw in 2014. When Jerry Brown ran for re-election, they just decided, you know what, we're not going to talk about politics, and Jerry Brown will win re-election. The only difference between 2014 and here in 2022 is that we don't have one of the worst economies in over 40 years. We do not have, you know, your price of eggs up, you know, the price of gas 30% up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have, you know, major crime. Like we, you know, 2014, that crime was not an issue. Crime is an issue in California. We didn't have all the problems that we have right now. So what the plan of just doing a radio silence, is backfiring right now. And what happens in this debate, you know, it's a debate that's on radio with YouTube coverage.
Right.
The only people who are going to be watching this really, I mean, there's with some few exceptions, but generally speaking, the people who are going to be watching this is the people who already know who they're voting for. There is not, because this is not being pushed real widely by the networks, it's not, you know, on NBC, on all 12 NBC stations in the state of California and the three outside, you know, that cover California territory. Because it's not being covered by traditional mainstream media, this is not going to touch that many people. And so if either candidate has a disastrous appearance, it's just because of the media is not covering the politics. It's a 24-hour story, and we're moving on, and the price of gas, the price of groceries is going to be back to front and center, and that's what's going to cause people to be voting. So I think the impact of this debate is minimal.
Okay, that's a great answer.
Okay, now I have a quick question for you, something that we all feel for and want to know, depending on what happens here in the great state of Jefferson Territory. If we get to the point of where we can get it ratified, do you support that?
You know, there has been a movement to try to separate California into multiple states since 1849 when we first became a state. I mean, there was talk about us needing to be three states from the day one. As you guys both know, every time there's been a new state admitted into the union, there's been a lot of debate about the balance of power. What at this point in time, you know, even if all the people of California wanted it to happen, I'm not seeing that there's any interest in D.C. in making it happen. But if we were to get it there, yes, I would vote for it. But I'm not real at this point in time. I'm not seeing that there is any kind of interest in separating the state of California. But you know, politics change very, very quickly, as you and I both know. You know, I would be a yes vote for it. But there are always ramifications if that yes vote is tied to all of a sudden, you know, D.C. becoming a state, I might have a problem with
well,
that.
Well, D.C.
at that point
can't become a state.
Right.
You know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. So you know that.
And you know that our congressman for District 1 is on that committee, right?
He's on the committee.
He's the committee chair for that.
Yeah, and the other thing about that, and that is, do you know about San Bernardino? I mean, we have people talking about, I mean, the state of Idaho, you know, that wants to become Greater Idaho. I mean, that would take, like, what, three Article 4, Section 3 state splits because they want to add California, Oregon, and then, of course, Idaho would be involved.
Three separate legislatures to work together, and that's never going to happen. That's just not going to happen.
It's three different situations that they'd have to go through.
Right.
But this is an interesting thing that San Bernardino wants to do. They want to annex themselves to the state of Nevada. And I know that Mark Baird will be going down there Tuesday, meeting with that board of supervisors down there. They requested him to come down. I guess they're doing a podcast or something. But do you have any, I mean, it really is to where people are just saying, we got to do something. I mean, we can't get representation with 80 assemblymen and 40 senators with, 40 million people. And 11 of the 40 senators are in Los Angeles County. I mean, it's...
Right.
Here's my response to all that.
Okay.
I actually have some ideas about what we can do to start getting better representation at both the federal level. That starts with actually when James Madison, the first Congressional Congress, introduced the Bill of Rights, they actually had 12 amendments.
Right. That's right.
And 11 of them have been passed. There is a 12th one that's still out there. And if that one were to be ratified by the state, it means a congressman cannot represent more than 50,000 people.
Right, that's Articles the First. Right.
Yes.
That was the original First Amendment.
Is probably, that amendment to the Constitution, which is already in front of the state, and it's one of the things that I want to do a tour of the state legislatures and say, guys, you need to pass this. Because when all of a sudden a congressman is only representing 50,000 people, it's going to be much harder for them to be bought and paid for because almost any candidate come in and walk 50,000 doors. The odds of you knowing your representative are much better, and that gives all the more congressmen to go examine all these various branches of the bureaucracy and keep them in check because of just the number of congressmen that you would have and staff that they would have. So it's time to make Congress a much more powerful branch of government and much more responsive. That's what we need to do on the federal level. Here's the deal. Over the next 16 days, the most important thing that anybody can do to have better representation is we have an opportunity where the Democrat machine politics in the state of California is in shambles. I mean, this is a real opportunity. The number one thing is to get me elected. Let's get a couple people elected. And then when I get elected, well, I'm going to be pushing to make sure that our congressmen are much more responsive to the people. I'm going to be I got a couple things that I think we could do in the state of California through propositions that I think are going to help expand our representation in the state of California. And these are going to be projects that I will be working on over the years. But right now, you strike when the iron's hot. The iron is hot in California. And what I encourage everybody, let's not focus on the state of Jefferson. Let's not focus on what we can do in San Bernardino. Let's not focus in on the new California. Let's not focus in on...
Focus on the counties.
You know, the election fraud of 2020.
Yep.
Right now, for the next 16 days, there is only one issue in the state of California, and that is getting your common sense voter friends, family,
in the county, right.
Co-workers to the polls to vote. Because if we don't vote, it's going to be just like New Jersey in 2021. Oh, look it, we almost won the governorship. It's going to be like Pete Peterson in 2014, Secretary of State. Oh, we could have won that race.
Mark, we only have 1 minute, buddy.
Okay.
I'd like you to tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Again and again.
Yeah, we need to know how to...
Go to my website, markmoeser.com, markmeuser.com. You can join my email newsletter there. You can make a contribution to my campaign. You can see my people's plan, 7-point plan for the state of, for how I'm going to govern. Get out and vote.
Okay,
this
Mark.
This is the time.
Yeah. Quick question. Where would somebody mail something to you? Is that listed on the website?
We
have money to send you.
MarkMoeser.com. Click contribute. At the bottom of the page is an address where you can mail a check.
Okay, perfect.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, we'd like to have you also on a podcast on Jefferson State of Mind on Mountaintop Media. And what I'll do is I'll give you a call.